Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because you are causing us to walk in your love. In the name of Jesus, we dwell in your love, we live in your love, we walk in your love. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we are loved by God, and we share this amazing, tremendous love with the brethren. In the name of Jesus. Izigaro satashi remene kizaro balati. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are still praying. Can we take this song together? I want you to sing this song from the bottom of your spirit. Say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Ha. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord now, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, kariene pasati elega. Oh, my soul, I will worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all adoration. We say, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, I yield myself to you tonight. Speak through me, to me, and to the many people that will listen to this in the name of Jesus. Manifest yourself to us in your word again in the name of Jesus. Even as your word enters into our spirit, signs go forth to confirm them in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we ask the praying. Now, for the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at the mystery of righteousness. And to the glory of God, this week is going to be the final part of this series, the mystery of righteousness. Now, in the previous teachings, we have talked about the importance of righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Where the Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness thereof. And He said, every other thing will be added unto you. Now, we have looked at what the Lord Jesus said in the first part. In the second part, we have discussed God's idea of righteousness. We talked about the idea of righteousness that God has. And today, we want to start centrally now. And look at one of the key things that God calls His righteousness. Hallelujah. Now, we must understand again, and let me do a quick recap, that there are three things aside from the Father that the Bible calls God. There are three other personalities that the Bible calls God aside from the Father. You know, there are many titles for God in the Bible, men called God, and God, according to the way God revealed Himself to them. So men gave names to God, or let me say, God was named according to the revelations that He gave unto men. So for Abraham, it was the Lord Almighty. Are we together? For many people, to another person, was El Shaddai. To the Israelites at various points in their lives, He was the Lord of hosts. Multi-dimensional God, I must say. But these are the dimensions of God, so to say, as He reveals them to men. But the Bible centrally calls God three things, aside from the Father. We talked about this last week. We said the first thing that the Bible calls God is the Spirit of the living God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the word used God there is Elohim. In the beginning. This is how the Hebrew is written, in the beginning. Elohim created the heaven and the earth. That Elohim is a plural word. Elohim is a plural word. So if Elohim were to be translated into English directly, it would be written as, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So if they had, if the translators of the Bible had written in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, there might have been confusion. Hallelujah. But the truth is that in the name Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And the Elohim is a plural language. I mean, it's a plural word. And from the Elohim, the first to be revealed to us was the Spirit of the living God. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And the next thing we hear is that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the Spirit of God was the first to be introduced to us out of Elohim. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God is God, because it's a part of the Elohim. It's a part of Elohim. I don't want to sing this song, but let's sing it. Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai, Hallelujah. So the Elohim was the first to be, the Spirit of the living God was the first to be introduced to us out of the Elohim. Now the second thing that the Bible calls God, that the Bible ascribed to as God, is the Word of God. John chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and it says, without him nothing was made that was made. The same was in the beginning with God. So what this means is that the same word was part of the Elohim that created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. It's important that we understand this. Now, on this same level, there is no other dimension of God. Pay attention. There is no other revelation of God that is ascribed to as God, not a revelation of him, other than these two and the third one I'm about to mention. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 John, that's the first scripture. I need somebody to post the scriptures on the group for us so that we can read easily. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. This is the top thing that the Bible calls God, specifically using to describe the nature of God. 1 John chapter 4 verse 16. Oh, I guess I'll have to read from my end. Please, I need somebody to volunteer to drop all the scriptures in the group so that we can move fast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. Apostle John was speaking through the revelation of the Holy Spirit here. And then he said, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. We have known and believed the love that God had to us. Now it says, God is love. Somebody say, God is love. God is love. It now says, he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love. That is to say, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. So if a man lives in love, he's living in God. So surely the Bible says God is love. We must understand what love is. Hallelujah. We must understand that the love that the Bible is talking about is beyond the natural human love. Apostle John was speaking by revelation. He said, God is love. That's a very bold statement. He says, we have believed the love that God has to us. And boldly he proclaims God is love. In fact, the Passion Translation says, God exists continually being love. That God exists continually being love. So wherever you can find love manifested, you can find God manifested. Hallelujah. But what kind of love are we talking about? Because we can see that men claim to love each other. And yet, the love that men claim to have for each other leads to hurt, jealousy, and wreaks all kinds of havoc. There has to be something about that love that makes you stand out. Hallelujah. So today we want to look at what love is, while we also look at other dimensions of the righteousness of God. And we'll close this series till next year. Hallelujah. What love is? What is love? Now, we must understand that to understand love, to define love, we must first understand that there are two kinds of love. Hallelujah. There are two kinds of love. The first love is the natural love, or say the human love, or you can call it the natural human love. It's the same thing. And the Greek word for it is phileo. Phileo. Phileo as in P-H-I-L-E-O. This is the natural human love. The love a man has for his wife. The love, friends ask for themselves. Now, this love is born out of selfishness. We claim to love each other because of what people can offer us. Men love their wives because they are beautiful. They have nice shapes. They have good characters. Okay? They can give unto them children. They can help them create a home. Are we together now? We love others because this is the natural human love. Loving because we need something from them. Loving because we expect something to come out of it in return. So the natural human love is a transaction. Hallelujah. The natural human love is a transaction. There is no point explaining this. You can't explain this. So you can say that there's no love in the world because the love that is in the world is based on transactions. This is the natural love, the human love. Definitely God can't be, it can't be, this kind of love can't be God. Because we must understand that God didn't have anything to gain. Honestly speaking now, God didn't really have anything to gain if Christ hasn't died for us. He didn't die for us, actually. The heaven is not, heaven is not there's not been a strike of angels in heaven. The 21 elders are there. They are beings, they are creatures that are continually praising God. So don't think it's because of your praises that he has redeemed you. No. They are beings that are continually praising him. Their job is to continually praise him. So it didn't start, I'm being honest with you, it didn't stand to gain anything. It wasn't a transaction. So the natural human love is a transaction. It is born out of selfishness. Hallelujah. So love in its purest form, hallelujah, does not have hatred as its opposite. You know, many times you make these mistakes. that the, we think that the opposite of hatred is love, or we think that the opposite of love is hatred. No, that's not true. Because the natural human love is based on a transaction. So the opposite of that kind of love, or any kind of love anyway, would be refusing to transact. Selfishness. So the true opposite of love is selfishness. A selfish man has no love in him. Hallelujah. Understand this. A selfish man has no love in him and can't live in love. He can't live in love. It is impossible for him to live in love. If I let me say this, that the natural man can't live in love. The only kind of love that the natural man can have is phileo. It does not matter the ties between you and it does not matter how long you spend together. It does not matter what you have shared together. And then the second kind of love. Now, this kind of love didn't even exist in the Bible until the Lord Jesus spoke about it. This kind of love, in fact, it was a word that was not really used. Excuse me. It was a word that was not really used before the Lord Jesus said it. It must have been a word he coined in the spirit realm. And the word is agape. This is the second kind of love, agape. Now, agape is the kind of love that makes a man lay down his life for his friends. I know the moment you heard that, you're like, what's Pastor saying this evening? The kind of love that makes a man lay down his life for his friends. This is the God's kind of love. In fact, the closest definition for this word agape is sharing. Because we can't even translate agape to love directly. So the closest translation we can give to agape is sharing or charity. Hallelujah. We have read 1 John 4:16 before. God exists continually being loved. Look at it now. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, he shared his only begotten son with us, so that people who believe the son should not perish, but have eternal life. He shared his son with us. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Anyone, you can go ahead. We're reading from verse 9 down to verse 14 or thereabout. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 down to 14. So this is the kind of love we're talking about, agape. Jesus was speaking to the disciples. He told them, I write unto you a new commandment. Let me not get ahead of myself. We looked at the God's idea of righteousness last week. And we realized that what God was really telling the Israelites to do as a kind of fast was impossible for them to do. We read Isaiah 58 last week. The kind of fast God told them to do is not the kind of fast that they can do. I'm still waiting for the scripture to be displayed. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 down to 14. God told them that is this not the kind of fast that I've chosen? That you let your press go. that you loose the bands of wickedness, that you deal your bread to the hungry. They couldn't do this, so they resorted to fasting. They resorted to refusing to eat, thinking that in doing this, they will be able to attract the attention of God. The truth is this, that we cannot try to replicate God's righteousness with our idea of righteousness. We've come to the understanding that God's righteousness, hallelujah, we have come to the understanding that God's righteousness is based on love. I mean, one of the central messages of his righteousness is based on love. It is important that we carry this understanding around and, you know, live by it. Now, let's read. 1 John chapter 3, from verse 9. Okay, let's start from verse 10. So it says, so now tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. It says, anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Anyone who doesn't live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. What kind of love are we talking about? We're talking about the kind of love that makes a man lay down his life for his friends. It seems like I'm asking for too much, but what I'm asking you to do really is to learn to live the life of sharing. It says, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. It says, we must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil and his brother had been doing what was righteous. Verse 13, he says, so don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. If we love, so this is important for us. It's not just about our prosperity or about the experience of God's promises. He says, if we love the brethren, we pass from death to life. So there are many Christians today, I say this without apology, Christendom, or say Christianity today, is not as alive as it can be and as it should be, because believers have failed to live in love and we are dwelling in prayers. Our prayers is centered around bless me, forgive me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless my family, forgive me, bless me, forgive me, bless me, forgive me. That is the center of our prayers. Hallelujah. We have turned God into somebody we transact with. So when we give him our prayers, and we give him our worship, and we give him our tears, so he will give us what we are asking for. You are just joking. You know, I listened to someone recently and he was saying, no, I really didn't listen to the person. The person wrote an article and I was just smiling at the person. He said he or she does not believe that God does not respond to the tears of men. That the first mistake he made is that he said God created men to be emotional beings. And that's the first mistake he made. God didn't create men to be emotional beings. Men became emotional beings after they listened to the serpent. I mean, after Eve listened to the serpent and Adam listened to Eve. And so when they ate of that fruit, they became emotional beings. So men being emotional beings was not the original design. So to think that because men can cry, God will respond is a joke. I was gonna now. So you must have wisdom this year. You must have understanding of certain things. Your crying will get you anywhere. You cried last year. What did it get you? Your worship, I'm being honest with you now, your worship is not acceptable if you don't dwell in love. So we have a lot of worship. Listen to this. We have a lot of animated worshipers in our midst. We have a lot of people that can come to the stage and they can sing. And, you know, people can enter into trances and we can sing from the bottom of our heart. We can feel animated. We can feel high. We can feel the energy. We can feel the this and the that. And then we go back home the same way we came, empty. we are now wondering why our pastors, I say this with my eyes covered, why our pastors, especially in this part of the world, are dabbling into, you know, into charts. There is no love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. So it means that if he is not dwelling in love, he's staying in death. This is what 1 John 3:14 says. It says that we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brothers. So it means that when we don't love the brothers, we remain in death. He that loves not his brother stays in death. And a dead man can't walk with the living God. Let me repeat this. Somebody needs to write this for us. A dead man can't walk with the living God. Let me repeat my emphasis again. A dead man can't walk with the living God. It is practically impossible. God had to declare Abraham righteous. He had to declare him a living man before Abraham could walk with God. So he says, whoever hates his brother, verse 15 now, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. What is the meaning of hatred there? It says, whoever has selfish interest so much that he cannot share with his brother, such a person is a murderer. And he can't claim to have the life of God in him. So it's very important for us to understand this. So tell your love, tell yourself, I dwell in God. Can you tell yourself boldly? Can it be more louder? The kind of love. Apostle John was speaking, said, brethren, we have believed and known the love of God that he had towards us. He said, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. We ought to lay down our lives. And sincerely, you might be wondering, does Apostle John mean it practically? Yes, practically that's what he meant. Because what the Lord Jesus said is that you love your brothers even as I have loved you. And now you ask yourself, how has Jesus loved you? He loved you so much that he died for you. He loved you so much. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. He loved you so much that though he was rich, he became poor that you may become rich. And the little you have, you find it difficult to share with the brethren. And you expect God to multiply what is in your hand. The problem is that you are expecting to multiply the things that are in your hands by the systems of the world, despite being a man that is claiming that to live above the system of the world. You expect the multiplication to happen when you keep, not when you share. Hallelujah. We must understand this. This is God's idea of righteousness. In fact, walking in love is acting out faith. Because no man can walk in love without faith. Hallelujah. No man can walk in love without faith. It is impossible. It is practically impossible to walk in love without faith. It can't happen. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, it says, we have peace in God through our Lord Jesus, by whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And it says, not only so, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work at experience and experience hope. And experience patience, and patience hope. That says, the word use hope there means assurance, actually, and patience assurance. That says, now this kind of hope does not make ashamed, Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That we have this assurance. And this assurance, we can't be ashamed of it. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of the living God that is in us. Thank you very much. It says that this hope will not lead to disappointment. So if you had had hopes in the past, listen to this. If you had had hopes in the past that led to disappointment, it is because you were not walking in love. Hallelujah. If you have had hopes in the past, that didn't work out. It is because you are not dwelling in his love. So walking in love is acting out faith. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. It says, and these three abideth. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Very important scripture for us. I have to rush now because of time. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. Let's start from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. Aha. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 11. Hallelujah. Yes. Now I read. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I taught as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass, darkly. He says, but then face to face. He says, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. Verse 13 now says, and now stands faith, hope, and charity. At the end of it all, what will remain is faith, assurance, and charity. The word used charity there is agapa. The same thing we are describing as love. The God kind of love. He said, these three, he said, but the greatest of these three is charity. The greatest of the three is love. Love is the perfection. So walking in love is walking in the perfection. This is no wonder Apostle James said that any man that is able to bridle his tongue is a perfect man. Now, we didn't know that to bridle your tongue isn't just means to not be able to talk nonsense, but it also means to be able to speak love every time you're very important. Tell yourself again, I dwell in God's love. The greatest of them all is love. In fact, in John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus told the disciples in John 13, 34. He told the disciples and he said, come, brethren, let me tell you. He said, a new commandment I write on you. Perhaps you should read John chapter 13 and verse 34. John 13, 34, quickly. The gospel according to St. John chapter 13 and verse 34. John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35. Now Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. Now the next question you want to ask, the first question you want to ask is, why would he need to give unto us a new commandment? Why? Why should he give unto us a new commandment? You know, I was telling some set of people some time ago that the old commandment, or say the Old Testament, the Old Testament and its laws are no business of yours. You don't have any business of any kind with the law. The law was not written to you. You know, it is just 10 commandments that we know out of the entire law, but there are so many ordinances that it was a burden unto Israel. In fact, the Bible calls that law the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. And so, if you are a living man in Christ Jesus, you are not expected to operate by the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life has set them free from the law of sin and death. So what sets you free from the law of sin and death, that is the Old Testament and its laws, is the law of the Spirit of life. And what is the law of the Spirit of life? John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you. This is the law. Somebody say, this is the law. He said, I didn't come to abolish the commandments, but understand this, I came to fulfill them. So since they are fulfilled in me, they are no longer relevant for anyone that comes out of me. So he said, I'm going to give you a new law because you guys are going to become new persons and you can't live by that law. And he says, this is the new law, that you love one another as I have loved you. Ha! That you love one another as I have loved you. He said, when you do this, all men shall know that you are my disciples. So one of the reasons the people are not accepting the gospel of Christ, listen to this, is not because we are not animated enough. It's not because there are not enough demonstrations of power of the Holy Spirit. No. It's not because we lack manifestations. It's not because we lack, you know, the movement of the Holy Spirit amongst us. What we lack is basic. It is love. This is the commandment. Live in love. So you must understand the righteousness of the kingdom of God is first and foremost important, central to it, dwelling in love. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. So every step out of love is a step out of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Every step out of love is a step out of the kingdom of God. So every selfish step is a step out of the kingdom of God. Every selfish thought that is obeyed is a step out of the kingdom of God. So while you are looking at the letter in your hands, God is saying, share. You know, I've told this before, that when it comes to sharing and loving, you must have wisdom to understand this, that it is not always about your money. See, let me show you a secret today, that God has positioned great and mighty things into your hands, and most of these resources are beyond your money most of the time. In fact, out of every 10 Christians, when you bring out 10 Christians now, you only find about 2 or 3 people that the only thing that God blessed them with immensely was money. The rest of them had hidden gifts. They're not really hidden. They had gifts. Giftings that men around them needed. Giftings. But they will never see these giftings because they are too selfish and purchasing money. Pursuing money. Pursuing the things that money can buy. And so because of this, they will not be able to see their giftings. And as long as they can't see their giftings, they can share these giftings with others and they can become great. They can manifest as sons of God. Understand this tonight, that God will not allow you to be where you can't be relevant. Wherever you find yourself, even now, as at this moment, I know that the situation is bad. I know that the situation can be tough. I am telling you that there are people around you that desire and are in need of the things that you are carrying. And so if you don't come to the understanding of these things to the point that you are sharing with these people, you will never be able to maximize that place. You would never be able to maximize that season. You would never be able to come to the fullness of God. And when these things do not happen, what you will see is that you are going to have to be struggling to get the things Jesus said will be added to you. So we have many Christians that are struggling to get the things Jesus said will be added to them today because they don't understand the principle of love. Somebody said the principle of love. So you are called to share. We are all custodians. you would agree with me that it is beyond the natural human law for anyone to die for his friends. I know it sounds impractical to you, and because as long as it sounds impractical to you, you must understand this. Everything else that God has said concerning you is impractical to you. Everything else God has said concerning you becomes practical when living by love becomes practical. You must understand this. There's no shortcut. So you can't be, see, Jesus said that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He now said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you don't carry my yoke, forget it, the rest is not yours. You don't want to carry my yoke, the rest isn't yours. You have to, because you have to carry a yoke. So if you're not carrying my yoke, you still carry the yoke you used to be carrying. So no amount, see, listen to this. No amount of praying will change your yoke. No amount of anointing will change your yoke. I know the Bible said that the anointing shall break the yoke. But the anointing breaks the yoke when it is the same anointing that breaks the yoke. The job it does is that it spreads the love of God in your spirit. So when you fail to live by this love of God that is in your spirit, are we together now? You are still going to be carrying that yoke. Now, it is not like the anointing is unable to break the yoke now. It is just because you are unable to see yourself. You are unable to live the love of God. Hallelujah. Whoa. Not just out of time, but I'm running out of battery. So must understand, this is central to the righteousness of God. Walking in love. If, as a matter of fact, the dimensions of the righteousness of God is simple, it centers just around three things. Are we together now? Let me round up in about 2 minutes, 3 minutes now. The dimensions of the righteousness of God that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6:33, it centers around three things, just three things. One, faith. Somebody say faith. Faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the B part says the just shall live by his faith. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, the just shall live by faith. If any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In fact, you can't walk in love without faith. If I walk in love, is an act of faith. I want to go to now. Faith is essential. Now, how does faith work? It says faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing now the word of God. So faith isn't confidence in God. Faith isn't trust in God. Faith isn't because I have heard that God is powerful. Faith is hearing God's word, okay, until it enters into your spirit. And when it enters into your spirit, it becomes the only thing you can see. So when you can see God's word in your spirit, then you have faith. So you can actually know when you have faith or when you don't have faith, because it comments. Hallelujah. You see that these things are intertwined. Even faith comments by hearing the word of God. And this is the word of God concerning love for you. So as you have heard the word and you walk in love, what will happen to you is that you are going to be killing two stones with one bird, acting out faith and dwelling in love. When you are able to do this, the third one will become easy for you to do. Like I said, there are three dimensions of the righteousness of God. The first one is faith. We talked about it briefly. The second is love. We talked about it a lot. If you want more understanding regarding faith, go and listen to our faith series, What Faith Is. You find it on Learn and Grow with Adekunle Olamide. You just type What Faith Is. We talk about many series of faith there. Now, the third dimension is being led by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. I must say this again and for you to understand. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 now. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature sons of God. Not for as many as are led by their pastors, not as many as are led by the Spirit, by prophets, not as many as are led by their spiritual fathers, not as many as are led by their fathers, not as many as are led by anyone else, but by the Spirit of God. Now, you can't be led by the Spirit of God if you have not, if you do not, how do you put this now, if you have not learned to act out faith, that is dwell in love. Because many of the times that the things that the Spirit of God would ask you to do are things that the selfish, the natural man can do. In fact, the Bible says that the natural man cannot receive the things of God because he can't know them. He can't know them. So central to the righteousness of God, three things. Central to the righteousness of God, three things, I repeat. Faith, love, being led by the Spirit of God. Central. If you can continually hear God's word. So the beginning for the believer that has received the kingdom of God, the beginning is to build a relationship with the word of God. Because Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says, God who at sundry times and at diverse manners, in diverse manners, has spoken in time past to the fathers through the prophet. He said, he has chosen to speak to us now by a son. That is the Lord Jesus. By a son, whom he hath appointed the heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. And now, John chapter 1 verse 1 says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word of God was God. So we know that the word created, the word of God was the instrument that was used to create the whole world. Are we together now? So God is speaking to us first and foremost through his word. So as a believer now, if you can continually hear God's word, are we together now? It will build faith in you, and you become able to dwell in his love. Then being led by the Spirit is not going to be so difficult. That is the simple process. I'm going to be stopping here by the grace of God. I just want us to bow down our heads and ask for help this evening. And say, Father, cause me to walk in your love. That's the simple prayer we're praying tonight. Cause me to walk in your love.